Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
He is risen. Amen. And that was last week, wasn't it? Last Sunday, we celebrated with millions of Christians all around the world that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus was dead. And Jesus is alive. That changes everything. Perhaps think of it this way. Everything God has been doing in the world before Jesus was all pointing to the Easter weekend. And everything God has been doing in the world since Jesus all explodes out of the Easter weekend. Easter is the spiritual nuclear power every Christian needs for every moment of every day. And so, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 on the weekend after Easter, first 11 verses, and see that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves and to each other over and over and over. And if we're going to do that, we need to know what the gospel actually is. And then we're going to finish with a reminder that grace is our new motor. I sometimes put a little hook in there just to keep you interested right up to the end. What do you mean motor, Steve? All right, that's where we're headed, over, over and over, the gospel and grace, our new motor. And so firstly, over and over and over. There is an old Christian hymn, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." And every verse in that hymn actually points out what I'm about to say, but I'll just read you the third verse. "Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me." The gospel is the number one go-to for comfort for the Christian. We preach the gospel to ourselves and we preach the gospel to each other over and over and over. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Paul wrote this, so he's an apostle. He wrote this to the church at Corinth. That's why we call this letter Corinthians. "Now I would remind you, brothers, sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand." It's important we see the context here, just straight out of the verse. Paul was reminding the Corinthians. So Paul had already preached the gospel to them. And the Corinthians had received that gospel. It wasn't like they didn't hear it, they received it, and they were standing in it. It's not like the Corinthians had forgotten the gospel. It's not like it's been a long time since the Corinthians had heard the gospel. Paul was reminding them of something they were standing in. The gospel is not the ABCs of the Christian faith. It's not as if we move on to higher things. It's not as if we move into deeper things. The gospel is the A to Z of the Christian life. Listen, you cannot help someone in your point group if you're not willing to preach the gospel to them over and over and over. And obviously there is a dumb way to do that. Let's say someone is needing comfort because their mother has just died. You are a dumb friend if you immediately say, isn't it good? You don't have to be sad because you have Jesus. Of course they're going to be sad. We should give a good amount of time to be sad. I argue that Christians should be more sad than others because we know this world isn't how it's supposed to be. But some Christians sit in grief far too long. And so it's a good, loving thing to ask a Christian friend who seems overly fragile when it comes to the hardship and the grief of life, what is it about the gospel you seem to be missing in this moment? Christians preach the gospel to ourselves and to each other in good times and in bad, over and over and over. The gospel is not the ABCs. The gospel is the A to Z of the Christian life. Now, to see why, we come to our second point, the content of the gospel. Read with me from verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. I love the fact that we have the gospel so clearly spelled out in these verses. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised in accordance with the scriptures. Let's deal with in accordance with the scriptures first. We see lots of hints of the gospel in the Old Testament, which means Jesus was not God's plan B. God didn't look at the mess that we've made within this world and go, oops, didn't see that coming, better send Jesus now. One of the first lessons we're going to learn in the Deep Discipleship course is that there are so many hints of the coming of Jesus in the Old Testament. The Bible tells one big story about Jesus. And as we read through the scriptures, we discover rather quickly everything God was doing throughout history before Jesus was all pointing to Easter weekend. And everything God has been doing throughout history since Jesus is all exploding out of the first Easter weekend. The gospel can be summarized. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. Jesus died for our sins. And Jesus was raised to life as proof that he is now king over all our enemies, which includes sin and death. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. Now, there is more to the gospel than Jesus' death and resurrection. There's also Jesus' life. There's also Jesus leaving earth to ascend up into the heavens and take his seat on the throne of the universe. And so we could more accurately say the gospel is the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. But even then, there's more to say, isn't there? I can think of some preachers from the Bible that would say, yes, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus is the gospel, and yet they're leading people straight to hell. They believe Jesus is simply an example of love and sacrifice. They believe that Jesus' resurrection and ascension are simply metaphors. They're wrong. The heart of our faith is not an example. The good news of Jesus Christ is, it's actually news. It is not advice. Humanity needs saving. You are a sinner who needed to be saved. I am a sinner who needed to be saved. And Jesus is the Savior who died for our sin, to save us from our sin. Christ died. But Jesus did not stay buried. No, Jesus burst forth out of the grave, which proves Jesus is King. Not small K King, capital K, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And one day, every knee will bow and declare that Jesus is Lord of all. The gospel is Jesus died. Jesus rose. The gospel is Jesus is Savior and King. And so the only question is Jesus your Savior and King? Is Jesus my Savior and King? Now, just before we move on to our final point, I want to highlight something on the back end of Easter weekend. Note from verses 3 to 8 that when Paul summarized the gospel, he spent most of his time in this passage talking about Jesus' resurrection. Verses 3 to 8 contain, in the English here, 84 words to summarize the gospel. 69 of those words are all related to Jesus' resurrection. That's 82%. I can do the maths. So why do us Christians spend 95% of our time talking about Jesus dying for our sins and 5%, if that, talking about Jesus' resurrection? Now, just in case you're feeling guilty, I can let you off the hook. I can give you a good reason. Because Jesus dying for our sins is the greatest need of our life. If we die without being forgiven through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we spend eternity in hell. Take your greatest nightmare, multiply it by a million, add in forever. That is a good reason to spend a lot of time focusing on Jesus dying for our sin. Having said that, when it comes to rock solid proof that our faith is the only right faith, is the only true faith, we need to get better at consoling one another and convincing our friends that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Listen, the resurrection is not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a metaphor. The evidence clearly points to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Brother and sister, the next time you have doubts about our faith, the next time you're overwhelmed by dark thoughts, stress, anxiety, the next time you're ridiculed by your friends because of your faith in Jesus, remember, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus told his followers he would rise from the dead. And then he did. The fact of Jesus' resurrection is what turned Paul, who wrote Corinthians, from a persecutor to a preacher of the gospel. Think about it. Paul knew the Old Testament inside out before he became a Christian. He knew the Old Testament better than any of you or I. Paul knew all the promises about God's future king. Paul knew that Jesus claimed to be that king. Paul knew that Jesus' followers claimed that Jesus was the promised king. And yet Paul hated Jesus and hated Christians. What changed Paul? What converted Paul? What turned Paul from a persecutor to a planter of Christian churches? Paul met the resurrected Jesus. Next time you have what feels like an insurmountable problem, remember, God has already solved the greatest insurmountable problem. This world is so broken, is so sinful, is so influenced by the devil, that we need to know there is someone good in absolute control and stronger. And Jesus' resurrection proves God is good in absolute control and stronger. Everything God was doing throughout history before Jesus was all pointing to Easter. Everything God has been doing in the world since Jesus has exploded out of Easter. Easter is our spiritual nuclear power that every Christian needs every moment of every day. Jesus burst out of the grave. And he declares, I am Savior and King. Amen? Amen? Right to our final point, grace, our new motor. We're about to read a verse that has the power to radically change our lives if we let it. You see, every single human longs to know that they are loved. And just in case you're a little groggy over too much Easter chocolate, every single human includes you, includes me. We all long to know that we are loved. Now you might want to insert accepted or respected or the new way of saying it, seen. Oh, you see me. We are created for inclusion. Exclusion hurts. And so here we are, all 8 billion of us running around the planet, going from birth, when we are 100% dependent, to gradually gaining life skills so that we can become independent, but then hitting the realization that we need other people. And so we bump between independence and interdependence. And here's the thing. A perfectly mature person, which none of us are. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? A perfectly mature person knows how to live and love in interdependent relationships. Interdependence equals maturity. But we all bounce around with pride and selfishness on one side and self-dependency and codependence, self-pity and codependence on the other. We replace God-given desire to be loved with a self-determined expectation to be loved. You know, we either expect others to love us, we demand it, or we keep trying to earn their love. Only the gospel can fix that inner turmoil. And let me show you how it played out in Paul's life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I and the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I'm a scumbag. I used to kill Christians. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Everything that God was doing in the world before Jesus was all pointing to Easter. Everything God has been doing in the world since Jesus has exploded out of Easter. Easter is the spiritual nuclear power we all need every moment of every day. Why? Because when it comes to being loved by God, Easter proves we bring nothing to the table except our sin. Jesus died utterly abandoned by his people, by his followers, by his family, by his friends. Furthermore, Jesus died outside the temple. Jesus died outside the city. And on the cross, Jesus uttered those fateful words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why alone? Why abandoned? Why forsaken? Because our sin was put on Jesus. And Jesus was punished. And Jesus was forsaken. So that we can be forgiven. So that we can be saved. So that we can be included. And let's be absolutely clear at this point. We are talking about inclusion into God's forever family. The reason every single human longs to be loved is because we're made by God to be loved by God. Now, we broke away from God, but God has a gospel of restoration. And the power, the motor of that gospel respiration is grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. 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 And Paul knew it. Paul got it. That's why he could write, I'm the least. And yet not run around trying to prove himself or be weighed down by guilt and shame. Paul proudly declared, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That is the phrase that can radically change your life. Paul took his eyes off himself and looked to his King. Instead of sitting in self, Paul exalted in Christ. Brother, sister, whenever we are full of self, it will not be long before we recognize how empty we are. But when we're full of Christ, we're powered to work harder than any of them. And what is that power? What is that motor? Real question? I'll see if Arvo Church can beat you. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Do not kill God's grace by trying to earn God's grace. Ooh. And do not refuse God's grace by ignoring your own failings. No. Receive God's grace through the death of Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus, over and over and over. And you will have a new motor to power you through this broken and fragile world. Grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are so good. You are the strongest. You are absolutely in control. Our sin had never stopped you from making your family. Father, we thank you that your grace is always bigger than our sin. Father, please forgive us for the times when we try and prove ourselves rather than just live out of your story. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning that still needs to come under your grace and your forgiveness through your Son. Father, for all of us, would we just see and know and embrace your gospel of grace this morning. For your glory, our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.